going on, guys? Dustin with the LFG 1904 show. Reconstruction Rescue is your best choice for flood restoration services in San Diego County. With years of experience in the industry, their dedicated team of project managers will work hand in hand with you from start to finish, specializing in home insurance water damage claims. They take on the headache of dealing with your insurance company so you don't have to. Call this number today for a free estimate. 760-891-9919. Once again, that number is 760-891-9919. Reconstruction Rescue. Y'all know the deal.
Welcome to another episode of the LFG 1904 podcast. I'm your boy Taylor here with Dustin from LFG, who I'll be interviewing today.
Wow. Jesus Christ. Well, there you have it, guys. I'm out of a job.
I've been practicing. I was in the mirror this morning. Yeah. You know,
like, I was about to say, dude, that sounded really good.
Not the first time.
Yeah, man. If you guys haven't heard yet, fucking Shifter Crew is going to have a fucking podcast here soon, and it's going to be really fucking a banger, baby. A straight fucking heater.
Excited, dude.
When is that gonna happen?
It's in the works right now. I was fortunate enough. Cali Raised Moto, super, super helpful in this endeavor. They've got a beautiful new building up in Placenta, California. Go by and check them out. They've got a media room that I'm gonna be able to use. Soundproofing's getting put on the wall right now. Here learning from you, you know, trying to figure out how to set all this shit up.
Yeah, you're learning what not to do. I like it.
Oh, that's the plan. You know, like, come over here, watch Dustin. Yeah. All right, you fuck this up. Let me not do that.
Yeah, definitely don't want to do that. Yeah, soundproof. Yeah, clearly we're in the fucking garage.
Birds are chirping and shit, dude. A squirrel just stole my burrito. Like,
pretty soon you'll hear the fucking paramedics come by any minute now with the sirens. You know what I mean?
Trash can. It's trash day.
They're probably they're just thinking as, you know, like the sound bites. You know what I mean? It's all good, guys. You know what I mean?
I'm Rick James.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, man. I think we had conversations that you're gonna do it way before you post about it, and it's just fucking really cool to see your friends like do shit. Because honestly, if somebody would have said to you, okay, Taylor, you're gonna have a successful brand, you're gonna do shows, and you're gonna do a podcast, what would you say?
That 2 years ago, I'd have been like, you're out of your fucking mind. Exactly. This is not gonna happen. I'm a guy riding a motorcycle just having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and then you kind of see everybody doing it, you know? You guys have been a huge inspiration watching you guys do all this. I'm like, holy shit. And I'm not talking shit by any means. I'm like, if Dustin could do it, I think I could figure it out too, you know? Like,
no, that's for sure.
Like, and then I call you and ask, you know? Like, yeah. But it's just, it's tight, dude. We've been super fortunate with everything that we've got going on. We're doing our second year of, it'll be called the Shifter Cup this year for our motorcycle show out at Scottsdale Harley. Shout out to Scottsdale Harley.
Big time.
Yeah, so the podcast is coming out. Just, it's kind of an interesting thing to explain, because Shifter Crew started as a joke. Like, we weren't being serious. We were making fun of ourselves because we kept having shifter issues. And we made some stickers, and the next thing you know, we had like 200 shirts in the garage. We sold out in 30 days.
Wow, you guys had 200 shirts?
That was our first order. Damn, bro, was 200.
That's amazing.
We went a little hard.
Yeah, I was about to say, we did 60, and we were stoked to sell 60.
Yeah, I mean, but it was tight. You know, then we got a few grand. We can keep this thing rolling. We can. We started buying pop-ups. We started looking at shows, and you learn more and more. There's not a blueprint for this. You know what I mean? You start finding out what vendor fees are, what it costs to actually do all this stuff, the travel on the road. Sorry, I'm burping up that burrito that you got me.
We just had lunch, so I'm breathing heavy. He's burping. Who knows? I even might take a nap. So he's already running the show anyways, guys. So I'm sure he can just...
soundboard over here.
Yeah, I'm sure that he can just figure this shit out. You know what I mean? It doesn't take a rocket scientist.
I've listened to enough of your podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Figure out the intro a little bit.
Straight padrone, dude. You're just a fucking drunk. God damn it, Dustin. Goddamn wet brain motherfucker. I know there isn't a blueprint. You just figure shit out. Like we were talking earlier, it's like we just throw shit against the wall, and if it sticks, you know what I mean? It fucking sticks. And there's been so many failures, but you know, there's been so many wins too.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, you're going to learn trial and error in this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we've had stuff that comes out and we're super excited about it. We think it's going to hit, and everybody's like, not this one.
That's the worst.
Well, I just committed a grand to this one. I know. You know what I mean? Like,
isn't it weird?
It's just timing. I mean, obviously the designs and all that kind of stuff matter, but one thing that I've always said about it, like the designs and the shirts and the hats and everything else, it's all just a byproduct of what we as a group of friends were already doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we all wanted to go to bike shows. We've got different kind of like assets. Like, I don't want to say assets, but we have different styles within my group of friends, right? We've got dudes that do show bikes, like guys that have won Born Free. Dan takes his bike to the drag strip and runs 10-second flat on shitty-ass Shinko tires. You know what I mean? Like, we do all different kinds of stuff. So the shirts and everything else, just it's just a byproduct of us living kind of how we want to. You know what I mean? But with that being said, sometimes the shirts slap and sometimes they don't.
Like, I know. That's why you just keep throwing them.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? Keep throwing them and see what happens. Yep. Damn, Dan's bike's that fast, huh?
Dude, Dan's bike, he's like super humble. He'll probably be mad that I'm even talking about it, but he's got that. He's also the luckiest human being in the world. He entered a raffle and won an HPI throttle body, like 62, 64 millimeter throttle body, whatever it was. Mm. And then, so he calls me, he's tripping out, we're all excited. Like a week later, he's like, you're not going to believe this. I entered another raffle and I won a 128 kit from Cyclorama. And I'm like, this shit's rigged, dude. No, you didn't. He sure enough did. Got it all sent out to the house, you know, put it all, assembled it all in his garage, got everything done, took it up to Revis to get tuned. And I think it's 154, 157 horsepower or something like that. And that dude can ride. Like, really? It's not me with that much horsepower. Like, all right, there goes Taylor doing an accidental wheelie again. Like, that, Taylor's dead. Like, that's what would happen to me. Like, but that guy can ride, so that bike is in good hands.
Oh, you guys hear that? It's Papa Juan doing a flyover.
Yeah, all right. Hey, what's up, fool? Come get me. I don't want to go back to work.
Damn, dude, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. I know that you guys were really show bike guys. I mean, you guys' bikes are fucking prime time. Yeah. Porky's bike is fucking...
Oh, dude. I mean, Porky, first bagger to ever win best overall at Born Free. Done. He's got a ring. I mean, it's like a freaking Super Bowl ring. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's... That's my interest. Like, I like messing with the bike, making it look cool, going and then showing off this thing that you kind of created. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I'm into, but then Dan's a completely different animal. Dan doesn't give a shit what his bike looks like. He would probably prefer it to be dirty. It'll never get painted. None of that's ever going to happen. And then when you get to the light, he's going to smoke you.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like what's under the hood, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Like, he wants a sleeper bike, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah, that's just how he is.
No, that's really cool. I love it when I see, like, trucks like that. There's a guy that I used to work with that had a fucking old 78 Ford truck, and it just looked like fucking junk. Mm-hmm. He literally had a chain and lock on the hood and the fucking grill. It just made it look even more. But this fucking truck fucked.
Yeah.
On the first date. Motherfucker did wheelies. Telling you. Smoke show, bro. Like, wild. And I'm like, man, that's cool. I mean, I know he's not the first person to do that. There's a lot of people that have those sleeper trucks that just look like fucking junkyard pieces of shit, and they fucking get on it. But that's even cooler on a bike.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You pull up to a light, somebody looks at you like, clap out, motherfucker, and you're just screaming.
I was so mad. Like, I did a bunch of work to my bike this winter. Dan did it all. Him and Porky came up, put the bike together, built it in Dan's garage. I did a cam, chain drive, got it tuned. I was all super excited. Woke that MH up. It did a total number on that bike. And I'm like, I'm good to go. I don't need a 124. Like, I don't need all this horsepower. And then I rode with him. And I was like, okay, never mind.
Wow.
I need some more fucking power. Like, this isn't going to cut it. You don't realize kind of what you don't have until you see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm used to chasing Porky through the grapevine all the time.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But we're doing 95, 100, just splitting. When Dan took off at the light, I was like, motherfucker. All right.
Smoke show.
Yeah. I was like, God damn it. He's like, yeah, dude, I need to chop some weight off of this thing. I need an extended swing arm. I'm like, why don't you go for a run, you big fuck? Like, you'd cut more weight doing that.
Totally. Oh, shit.
But, yeah, no, that's my boy.
Yeah, I love him. Hey, so your podcast is going to be at Cali Raise, right?
Yes, sir.
And we don't have an exact time or date where we're going
to
launch.
Nope, and that was kind of a thing. I was trying to do the first podcast January 8th, but I was super unprepared. Like, I really didn't know what I was getting to. And so I talked to some of the boys, and they were just like, why don't you slow down? Because I was super excited. You know, I announced it. It's something I've been kind of quietly working on for months now, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of talked me off the ledge because I was like, we're going to fucking send it. We're going to hit record, and we'll see what happens. And everybody was like, don't do that. like, take some time. Let's get this room ready. Let's get everything else done.
Yeah.
You know, and
which is a good, that's a good trait to have. Just slow down, be patient.
Yeah.
Patience is just not a fucking philosophy that we have. No, you know, it's not even our vocabulary.
Instant gratification. Yeah. Like, I want it now.
It's me.
100%.
Yeah. No, I think that's, listen, I mean, it's in the works, so it doesn't matter. You know, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic show. Do you have any guests lined up yet?
Yeah. So the first guest that I want to have on is Steve and Chad from the Live Fast Rally. Mm. Those guys kind of coincide with like my time in California. I'd moved here like summer, early 2020, now that I think about it, like peak COVID time. It was chaos, right? And I'm in the Navy, so it was a mess trying to get anything figured out. Well, I bought the Road Glide. I had a Dyna before, got the Road Glide, and somebody had sent me just like a flyer to the Live Fast Rally. I was like, dude, it's like 2 hours from my house. I don't know anybody. I don't know Dan yet. I don't know Porky yet. I don't have any local friends yet. Mm. And I just showed up to the Live Fast Rally. And I was like, I didn't really put this together, but this was the first big event kind of motorcycle show after COVID loosened up. It was fucking chaos. And I loved it. Like it was super cool. The way that those guys kind of organize is awesome. It's a group of like 18 dudes that come together and throw a cool rally every year. So I'm out there at the bike show. Ton of people are out there. I'm having a good time. And then, I mean, I lived in Virginia Beach for 10 years. The bike scene's not really the same thing out there. But I look out and there's guys on baggers doing wheelies and burnouts, and dudes are doing wheelies just going down the road. Like, and then Bulletproof Welder, who I now know, I had no idea who he was at the time, comes running out with like, I don't know where he got construction cones from. They're probably like in his truck or something. But he comes out with like construction cones and he's just blocking the road by himself. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. This place is awesome. Cops show up. It was a good time, man. And I was super hooked right away.
Right.
Like, so then you flash forward a year from that, and I believe the Live Fast 4 was on June 6th. So we had started Shifter Crew June 1st. We just rolled up. We're selling like t-shirts out of our backpacks.
Dude, you got to talk about this story. I don't think we brought this up on the first podcast that you did, but you told me this, and this is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm super thankful that those guys were as cool as they were. Yeah.
No tent, no booth.
No nothing.
Out of a fucking backpack.
Yep.
What a cool story to say.
And it was me and my really good friend, Jake Highfield. We entered our bikes in the show. So our bikes are in the middle of the show, right? And we just filled all of our bags up with all the t-shirts that we had. We had like, I don't know, probably 180 shirts. We took like everything. And then we had other guys who didn't enter the show, and they had shirts out in the parking lot, you know? So
yeah.
We just popped open the lids and started selling them right there. In hindsight, I would not have done that. That was fucked up. And thank you to everybody from Live Fast that didn't get mad at me for that. My bad. But we sold a shit ton of shirts that day. And that was kind of cool to go from the first one. I didn't know anything about anything. Second one, I'm kind of getting this thing rolling, selling shirts out of our bags. And then Live Fast 5, this past one, we had reached out to them and said, hey, why don't we sponsor the Slow Race? Like, your event's our favorite event. What can we do to kind of help and be a part of all this? So they were like, yeah, why don't you guys make some trophies for it? And they made a big banner with, like, a bracket on it. It was super cool. So you go from the first one, I don't know anybody. The second one, we're selling shirts out of our bags. To this last one where Steve and Chad were like, come on, bro, you're coming with me. Here's a microphone. You're calling the races with me. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm geeking out, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And I'm very much like, I'm not going to take myself serious about anything that I'm doing. Like, I'll be a little kid. I'll be giddy. I'll be excited because I just think it's awesome, right. You know?
I think when at any point when you're just transparent, period, you know what I mean? And your real emotions come out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why sometimes my real emotions, like, it depends. Like, when there's, like, a big group of people, like, I might be closed off. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, it's, right.
I'm very weird when it comes to that, because there's some days where I'm like in a great mood, like, hey, how you doing? And blah, 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 knuckling and all this stuff. And there's some days where I'm just like kind of wigged out by it, you know, mm-hmm. because sometimes you get around a lot of people and, you know, when you're on social media, a lot of people think that they already know you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's really hard. And it's like, I hate those conversations. Like when I'm shaking somebody's hand and they go like, yeah, we've met twice or something. I feel fucking awful.
Yep.
Or when they come and approach you and be like, bro, we talk all the time on social media.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your handle?
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Like, I'm using so fake names. Like, yeah, you're Bender Bike. And
I feel so awful. I really do. Yeah. I feel fucking bad about it because I'm like, dude, I'm really, A, I'm really bad at with names too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, thank God there's name tags.
Right. Well, believe it or not, you kind of got a lot going on.
Yeah, I know.
Little shameless plug, LG 1904 print shop in the garage right here.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's like fucking. But anyways, doing events is just fucking super fun.
That's exactly what it is. It's just an excuse for us to go do events, which is what we wanted to do in the first place. Right. You know what I mean? Now we have this reason to do it. Right. You know, we got the booth, we got the pop up, all the homies are there hanging out. You know, Porky's winning every bike show that we go to, and yeah. it's just a blast. You
Bulletproof
know?
Welder, fucking oh my God. Always winning.
Like, dude, the Kern County Killers, dude, those two boys, God, and then I think it's super rad that two of what I believe are the dopest bikes in California, probably in the country, are right there out of Bakersfield and Taft. Mm. You know what I mean? Like garage built motorcycles. Those guys are getting
one
after
was
it,
a
dude.
Street Glide.
Oh my God! Yeah, Porky's bike was a Street Glide. It was like a maroon Street Glide, and now
turned
it's
into a
this
fucking
monster.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's like what?
Yeah,
yep. Straight wild, bro. Yeah, yeah.
It's great when I'm riding around and people are like, "Oh, dude, sick bike, sick bike, sick bike," and then I ride around with Porky and everybody's like, "Yo, your boy's bike is sick," and I'm like, "Thanks, guys," because right. It's bad. Dude.
I know. I was doing events all wrong because we had some like really good success. Like we went to. I guess Bell Brawl was like the first big one that we've done. And it was like, man, we didn't have enough merch, you know? And so like we made some money and then, you know, thinking new into the game too, it was like, oh, well, this is going to happen all the time. And then my expectation was really high. And then it took me like probably like a year and a half ago to where I'm like, I'm thinking about this all wrong.
Right.
It's not about making money. It's literally about the people that you're meeting and the conversations that you're having. You know what I mean? So even if it's like, I met somebody and I'm introducing myself again to them. You know what I mean? It's like, then I'm trying to remember what they look like and what their face is and what their business is and like, what can we do together or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it was funny. It was like almost an out of body experience for me. I swear to God, I was like, fuck the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's the relationships.
100%. And you can have the dopest company in the world. If you're just an Instagram page, it means nothing. You need to be out there shaking people's hands and getting to know them, building relationships and being, like you were saying, being transparent.
Yeah.
Because people are going to see through that if you're not.
Totally.
So,
I know 100%. It's funny. I said that at the last show. I'm like, yep, you know what? LFG is not just on Instagram, guys. Right. What the hell are you doing?
We go outside too.
I'm here. Yeah.
I leave my house.
It's been a minute, but I also have, 15 kids and a puppy and a fucking new house and everything else. So it's like, there's a lot going
on. Another
here.
Job.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I got fucking Roth part time, graph quitting. You know what I mean? There's a lot of shit going on here. Goddamn.
I'm busy, dude. I get it, dude.
No, but it's like, it's funny. And there's some really highly successful people that just do Instagram, and they'll never do an event, and they probably don't need to.
Yeah,
you know, it's weird though, man. Instagram is such a trip, man, because people pay for these followings. You know what I mean? And like, they pay for like followers, and like you can tell with likes, but then they're like really a successful company though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have a shop.
Can do it. Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like
I can't do it.
Baffling to me. Sometimes I'm like, how the fuck? I'm working my dick off. You know what I mean? Like, how the fuck?
I'm slutting myself out at all these events.
God damn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many fucking reels do you want me to make? God damn it.
Yeah. Dude, it's addicting, too. There's like, you got it figured out in your mind, like, how to hook you to it. Like, they want you. Like, every once in a while, I got to take a break. I might go a couple days. Maybe I've taken a week off. Oh, there's the sirens. I don't know if everybody can hear that.
I hope so. It's a sound effect, guys.
Yeah. I don't know. Instagram's great. It's a great tool. Obviously, it's our major marketing strategy, but Instagram is not a real place. Mm-hmm. People kind of need to remember that too. Like, and when you post something on there, it is there forever.
Right.
People need to understand the benefits and the risks of purely using social media. And that's why going out to these events and developing relationships with people is a must.
I know. You have to.
And
it doesn't matter if you delete something. Somebody already screenshotted it.
Yeah. You already said some stupid shit. Yeah. Now the world knows you can't take that back, you know?
No fucking way, man. So what's going to happen? What's next besides your podcast? I want to dig into your life a little bit, but what's the newest thing to your plate besides obviously you just made a move?
Yeah. Just moved down to San Diego. Was up there in Lemoore for a while. We've got the Arizona Bike Show coming up. Mm. That's going to be super huge. Clockworks has been incredibly supportive with that. And I really, really don't think we could do it without those guys.
Relationship that you made at
Biltwell.
Right?
Yep. With Shelton and Brian and Ryan, Ian, everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, they're just good people to the point now where, I mean, Michelle and I are on the phone once a week. You know That's what I mean? Really just cool. talking about being dads or whatever else. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. most of our conversations aren't about business stuff. You know what I mean? We're just friends now, which is awesome. So that's kind of the big major one we got coming up. I'm kind of putting all of my energy and focus into that. Between, I mean, I just made a move and I decided to start a podcast and we're going to have our motorcycle show. It's like, okay, we need to focus on two or three areas right now. You know, obviously working on designs, new shirts are coming out here soon. Just trying to capitalize, you know?
How do you like your experience? What's your experience so far living here? Because, I mean, it's pretty different, but you did mention you lived in the East Coast too, right?
Yeah, I was in Virginia. So I'm from Michigan originally. I joined the Navy when I was 18, but I lived in Virginia Beach for 9 or 10 years, give or take, and I was 100% getting out of the Navy. I was like, I am done with this. I got in some trouble in 2016, got kicked out of the rescue swimmer community, and they sent me to basically be a sonar operator for a few years. I was sitting in the back of a helicopter looking for fake mines in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay. And I was like, man, if I was doing rescue swimmer shit and I died trying to help somebody, that'd be pretty rad. Right. But if I die looking for a mine that I know is not there in Norfolk, Virginia, I'm going to haunt the fuck out of this place. I'm going to be so mad.
I'm going to shut this fucking garage down. Keep talking because right. now we're going to get
now
all
we're getting into it a little bit.
Trash truck. You fucking jinxed it.
Dustin's new here. He's trying to find the garage door closer. Right, his bike's in the way. Hang on a second, guys. Take this moment to do a little shameless plug for LFG 1904 Friend Shop. This is my first time coming over here and actually checking this out.
If you want, I got to do another plug for that one guy. You know, we can just get that going.
I guess we're doing all kinds of plugs. but no, he's got a pretty awesome setup in here, guys. Hit up LFG 1904 Friend Shop for all your screen printing needs. And Dustin's finally coming back. He got the garage door figured out. The trash can was in the way.
Yeah, we're just going to close it down, you know what I mean? Probably should have done it before the podcast, but, you know, you guys know the deal. It's LFG. We don't give a fuck.
Hey, you're the professional. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say professional, that's for sure. Professional fucking jabroni. All right, so do you want to talk about what you got in trouble for or no? Was that classified?
No. What I got in trouble for wasn't really that big of a deal. I was just a shithead kid, man. I was probably 20. I joined in 2011 at 18, so I was, what, 23 when this was happening?
Right.
And I was just kind of an arrogant asshole. You know what I mean? Like, I was in the Navy.
I can't see that.
I grew up a lot. Like, growing up, how do I explain this? I always had, like, a great family life. I was super fortunate. My mom kind of had me at a younger age, and then she met this guy, Lou Santos, who's my stepfather, he's my dad for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
Like, if it hadn't been for him, dude, I definitely wouldn't have been able to join the Navy. None of that kind
Good
of
dude.
Stuff would have happened. Super solid dude. Adopted me when I was like 14. So my mom had me go into like daycare one day, and I don't remember this. Like, this is kind of stories that I've been told.
Right.
So he picks me up from daycare one day. He's a Hispanic dude. Lou's Cuban. So he's always, he said he was always thought it was weird that you would like send your kid to a daycare. Like, bring your kid with you kind of shit, you know? And I guess one day he went to pick me up from daycare and I got the shit kicked out of me by a bunch of kids. Like, he's like, dude,
really?
You were all beat up. And he was like, fuck this. You're never coming back here. And from then on, Lou took me to work with him every single day. He's a personal trainer. Grew up following him at the gym. You know what I mean? So
wow.
I was super, super, super fortunate to have somebody step into my life, because I'd be fucked, dude. If it had been just like me and my mom, she was an ER nurse when I was little. She was working night shift. I would have been running amok.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? And then he comes in. He's like, nah. Like, we're not. He's from Brooklyn. He's a real street smart dude. He's not an idiot. You know what I mean? He's like,
wow.
We're not doing that. So I was super fortunate, but I was kind of just like a product of my environment. You know what I mean? Mm. My family life was amazing. My family was great, but everybody around me was chaos from the time I was probably 14. When I was 13 or 14, this young man, Will, who I played like freshman football with and all that kind of stuff. This was my first time being exposed to anything like this. He was shot and murdered just sitting on his porch, like total gang shit, 14 years old. And I remember like where I was, you know, 17 years ago when that happened. And it changed my life. It straight up changed my life in a good way and a bad, because I realized, like, this isn't going to go away. Like, people are still getting killed over, they call him Willville, being killed all those years ago. That's still going on to this day.
What was it? Just a random act of violence? Or
it was...
You said it was gang-related, so it was, was Will and part of some gang? Okay.
Yeah, so my understanding, remember I was 14 when this happened, sure. But there was a kid that had gotten... This was freaking wild for me at the time. There was a kid that got jumped. His name was Spanky. And Spanky got jumped, and then like the next day at school, they had a full-on riot, bro. Mm. Like straight up, like they jumped. It was like some north side, south side kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, old boy got jumped, so the next day, everybody from his crew came down, and they had it out. I'm like... When you're in high school and there's like 14-year-olds and 18-year-olds are different. Like, yeah. I was a child. I was like 5'5". I didn't get big until I was like 22. But I remember like walking through the main hallway and this shit starts going down. And these are all 18-year-old grown-ass men beating the fucking shit out of each other. Cops had like kind of gotten a tip or something that was going to happen. So they came in and they just start pepper spraying. Boom, all the way down the hallway, just trying to clear the hallway, right? Goes on for a while. They suspended or expelled so many people from that event that they had to start an alternative school in the city. Like, they had to create a new high school because they kicked that many people out. And then, dude, the next 4 years of my life, that was basically what was going on, dude. Mm. Like, there's just I don't want to like say names because, like, God forbid I'd fucking forget somebody or something. Yeah, you know what I mean? But that was just a constant thing. It was like, in Michigan, you got 6 months of summer, 6 months of winter. Yeah. The first hot day, somebody's getting shot.
Damn.
Like, it's straight
up
like
that. What part of Michigan?
Kalamazoo, Michigan, southwest. So okay. If you look at, like, Detroit and Chicago,
yeah,
halfway in between the two
right,
of them.
Right, right.
But it was, like, the first hot day every summer, somebody would get killed. And so we were, like, making the joke, dude. It was super active. I'm, like, 14, 15, right. 16, and we're like, somebody's getting shot today. And, like, you knew it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
When your friend got shot, were you there or were you just...
No, I wasn't there. It happened on a weekend. And then I showed up to like, we had like Sunday track practice or some shit. And that was all anybody was talking about. And I didn't even understand. Your 14-year-old mind doesn't understand somebody was just killed. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, holy shit. Like,
that's a traumatic experience.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
And you're 14. Was he 14 too?
Yeah, he was. So we were freshmen together.
Yeah, so you're so relatable. Like, that could have been me.
100%. Yeah. You know? And then... It just kind of continued happening and happening and happening. And every, you know, you lost a couple dudes every year. And I didn't realize how that was going to kind of, it affected me as an adult. It benefited me in a lot of ways because I came callous to a lot of stressful situations. Mm-hmm. Like, people start freaking out and I'm like, man, you got some real problems. Like, I hate to say it like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be worried about certain things like that. So then when I pretty much knew, I said earlier, it benefited me and it hurt me. It benefited me because I knew I was not going to go to college. I wasn't going to stay in Kalamazoo. I was going to join the military, and I was going to get the fuck out of here. I knew that when I was, like, 14 years old. Mm. Problem was I had to make it to 18, like, straight up. Like, I had to make it to 18. Well, when it came time, I graduated high school at 17, and I was like, hey, I want to bounce, and I wanted to be a Marine. I wanted to join the Army. Anybody that told me yes, like, that's what I wanted to do at the time.
Right.
You know? And... So I graduated high school at 17, and I tried to tell my parents, like, hey, sign this paper because I can't join until I'm 18. But if you sign it, I can leave right now. And they're like, nah, man, that's a decision you need to make on your own. Like, I'm not signing off on that. You know what I mean? So they made me wait till I was 18, which was the right decision 100%. But so I graduate, and I took, for whatever reason, I was like, I guess I'll just try working. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just hang out here. I kind of talked with the recruiter and, like, flirted with the idea a little bit, but I got done with high school. I started working at like a Steak and Shake. I was the grill boy at Steak and Shake. It fucking sucked. That was the worst job I'd ever had. I don't know if you've been to Steak and Shake, but the grill's right in the front. You know, the homeboys come in, we're over at 24/7, 3 in the morning, like, hey, make me a fucking da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm fucking providing it up. So I get fired from Steak and Shake, worked for a greenhouse company. I was a white boy working in a greenhouse, and that was interesting because nobody else spoke English. Right. So I had like a color-coded system that I was like moving plants based on like the yellow circle and the blue circle and the red circle.
Right.
And that was chaos. And then I was working for Court Furniture. And so my best friend in this period of time in my life, name is Trey. He had a brother, Dre, actually. And one day I went over to their house. Sorry, I haven't told this story in a while.
Yeah.
One day I went over to their house, just regular shit. We would play basketball, just fucked around, you know. I go over and we're going to go down and play ball. And I grab Trey and I'm like, where's Dre at? Let's go. Like, he's got to come too. And I remember Trey telling me, like, Dre doesn't want to come out of the house. Like, I don't know what's going on, but he ain't left the house in a couple days. I don't know what's going on. My young mind, I didn't fucking think anything of that. I was like, oh, that's weird, you know? And then we went and played ball. Well, like, by the time we got back, detectives were there. Everybody's there. Apparently, he robbed, like, a video game store. And the dude fought back, so we cut this dude up.
Mm.
Something serious. Like, real, real, real bad. And I remember being like, damn, dude, like, I really need to leave. You know what I mean? Like, I need to get out of here. I didn't do anything about it. So, like, 2 months later, I was walking home from work. I got off super late. And actually, now that I think about it, I was still working at Steak and Shake at this time. So, I'm walking home from work, and I stopped by the house. And, you know, it's like December in Michigan or January in Michigan. There's 3 feet of snow. I didn't have a car. I didn't have any money. I was taking the metro everywhere, all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And I had a ski mask that I would wear because it was that cold. It'd be -5, and you're walking 3-4 miles to get home. Well, I go hang out with Trey for a little bit. And when I go to leave, he was like, hey, I got to walk to my girl's house in the morning. Let me borrow your ski mask. It's going to be cold as fuck. And I'm like, come on, you know, like going back and forth. You can't, you know, he's like, oh, come on. He talks me into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right. So I give my ski mask. I walk home. Next morning, like 6 a.m, his girlfriend's calling me 6-7 times, blowing me up, screaming. And she's like, she's like, tell me this didn't happen. Like, is this real? Like, you knew about this? What's going on? I'm like, what's going on? She was like, Trey robbed Speedway last night with a gun and got caught. And I'm like, holy shit. Fucking armed robbery. You're going away. Mm. You know what I mean? This, not to say it like this, but it's not California. You're getting let out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's, say the truth. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're done.
You're getting years in prison.
Yeah, you're doing a dime at least, right? Yeah.
So that I remember being like, all right, man. Like,
he okie doked you for the ski mask.
100%. He robbed that joint with my ski mask.
Which is even nuts to think about because, I mean, you think about DNA and all that other shit.
Dude.
Like there's so many variables that could have been like, fucked. That could have gone
so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he runs away but leaves the ski mask. Yeah. And gets you busted. Like,
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Trey, you piece of shit. Yeah, God damn it. Right? So I take it Trey's out now, right?
He's out now. Yeah. That was 2011, like January of 11. And I remember being like, fuck, man, like, it just seems like every couple months, like, somebody's dying, somebody's going to prison. And now my two, like, closest homies that happen to be brothers are also doing, I mean, Dre did 10.5 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I definitely need to get the fuck out of here.
The writing was on the wall.
It was so,
right?
Yeah. So I fucked off for, like, 4 more months. And I had been talking to the recruiter, and they're like, yeah, man, we'll get you out of here in November. And I was going to do, I don't remember what the job was I was going to do. Some random ass job. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm out of here in November. Like, I got to work till then. I'm not going to go. Like, I've been put out of the house. I'm not going back home. I had some shitty little apartment with this girl I knew. And one day, this is when I was working at Court Furniture. I came home and everything's gone. Everything. Apartment's empty.
Mm.
Like, cabinets, my couch, my bed, my stereo. I was super pissed my stereo got taken. Mm. But she straight up wasn't paying the bills, I guess, for like 4 months. They came to evict, and she was like, all right, I already got a moving truck. And I came home. She had never told me any of this. I was paying my portion, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, fuck. Like now what am I going to do? That was like kind
of homeless.
I'm fucking homeless.
Yeah.
Straight up. So I remember like walking outside and just like sitting on the steps and being like, all right, I guess I got to figure this Navy thing out. So I called the recruiter and I was like, hey,
well,
man,
hold on real quick. What you said Navy, because before you're like Army,
whatever,
what made you switch?
The dude was just cool as fuck.
Got it.
The recruiter was from Kalamazoo. Jeremiah Clark. If you ever hear this, that dude was fucking rad and probably saved my life, to be honest. That dude was fucking sick. He was from the same town as me. He kind of understood a lot of what I had going on. He went to like the other Crosstown Rival High School, all that kind of shit. So he kind of got me and we kind of just clicked. You know what I mean? So he was like, nah, man, come this way. So I was just following him, but I remember going outside and calling him and being like, hey, it was May. And I was like, I'm supposed to leave in November. I can't wait. Like, I have to get out of here.
Right.
Like, right now.
Were you 18?
Yeah, I was 18 by that point.
Okay. So you're good to go.
Yeah, now I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But so he was like, what's going on? I was like, dude, you stole my shit. Like, I don't know where I'm staying tonight. You know what I mean? He's like, all right, I'll be right there. Comes and gets me. They take me in. I had to do, like, some tests and some other stuff. They drop you all the time, make sure you're not smoking weed or nothing like that.
Yeah.
But he was like, all right, man, like, you're not gonna be able to do the same job, but we got this air rescue deal. You can leave next month. It's like May 15th. He's like, you'll leave June 6th. And I'm like, what's air rescue? He's like, oh, you like jump out of helicopters and shit. And I was like, I can leave in June?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, just get me the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like, that was how I felt. I had absolutely no idea. what I was getting into. Right. But yeah, so joined the Navy, and then that was super. There's a lot of people that would sit around and kind of complain, like, ah, this fucking sucks. This is gay. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing that. And I'm like happy to be somewhere. You know what I mean? I'm just straight up happy to get
a paycheck. Were probably in a, they probably didn't have the same sort of circumstances you did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe, probably to them it was.
Yeah.
To you, them, were it trying, you were trying to like forget your life that you just lived.
100%. I was, and I didn't realize it right away. It probably took me a year or two, but I was like, all that bullshit that you did growing up, that can all be done. Like, you don't have to fucking act like this. You don't have to think like this. Your first thought doesn't need to be what's going to happen when I fucking turn the corner on Stockbridge. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have to be your mind anymore. You can be whoever the fuck you want to be. Mm-hmm. So I tried to be a better person. Like, and it took me a couple years. I was a dumb fucking idiot my first couple years in the Navy. But
right.
Yeah, man, it worked out. Ended up doing that. And then in 2016, I got into it with some dudes that I worked for. And this is kind of a lame story, but they were just fucking assholes and I hated them. And if I had just shut up and like listened to what they were saying and kind of letting them get their win over me, I never would have gotten in trouble. I probably would have been fine, but they were kind of punking me, honestly.
Right.
And so I had to go to like this like review board about it because it ended up being a big deal. And one of the guys looked at me, and this is 23-year-old Taylor. But he looks at me, he's like, if you think we're trying to fuck you and get you out of here, just say it. And I was like, you're not trying to. You're fucking me. Mm. 100%, you're fucking me. And the executive officer of the command was like, this one's got to go. Like, you got to get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
So I quit doing a job that I really liked where I'd spent, you know, 3 or 4 years and really made, like, close bonds with these dudes. And I went over to, 50, they call it 53 Land, and I was like a dirty backseat trunk monkey streaming gear, recovering gear, learning how to work underwater sonar. I hated every second of it. Mm. I was just completely miserable, but it was such a humbling experience for me that I think it was probably, it was a blessing disguised as a curse for sure. Like, it definitely was something that I needed. It definitely got me turned around. And then after that, I went to Bahrain a few times, made a shit ton of money in Bahrain. Like, when I was there, I think you were making $135 tax-free a day in per diem. So that's on top of all your other money. So now I'm like, I'm coming back. I'm getting a fucking Road Glide. Like, you know what I mean? Were
motorcycles starting to get your interest then?
Yeah, okay. Around 2016 is when I started riding. But I had like, I did the typical like Sportster Dyna Road Glide. Like, I was riding a Sportster at the time.
Of course.
But yeah, I did my last deployment out there. I had a bunch of money saved up and I was like, I'm getting out. Like, I'm done with this. Mm. And the Navy was like, well, what if we can send you back to being a swimmer? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I guess I would think about it. And they're like, well, this position opened up at Lemoore Search and Rescue, which is just a station SAR unit. If you want to go up there, it's yours. And we called the chief over there, Jesse Peterson. Thank you, Jesse. Got me hooked up, and they sent me up there. Cool thing about up there was we didn't have any of the extra missions that kind of the Navy really makes you do down here. All we had to worry about was search and rescue. So the purpose for them, they exist to kind of help the jets up there. If somebody ejects, they can recover them. Mm. Well, F-18s don't really crash very often, thank God. So what we did was went around to all the local counties and offered our services to them. So that ended up working really well, and it was – like every weekend, you're like pulling a hippie off the hill. You know, there's some guy up there who wanted to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, and next thing you know, you're at 11,000 feet helping some dude out. It was the most rewarding experience of my life. Mm. And that's what a lot of people probably see. Like, my personal page is a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm super proud of it. One thing with that people see the pictures, and sorry if I get nervous talking about this. People see all the pictures and they see all the training and they see all this stuff and they're like, man, this is awesome. Dude's flying helicopters. There's a lot that comes with that. And probably last April, I started having weird like thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the first time it ever happened. And I can feel myself getting worked up talking about it now because I can't believe I'm putting this out there. But walking in the gym, and I can just feel my heart beating out of my chest, like absolutely going crazy. And I check my watch. I don't wear a watch anymore because I can't know what my heart rate is. I get freaked out. But my heart rate's like 184 for no reason. I'm just walking. And so I freaked out, went and got back in my car, drank a bunch of water, whatever, like kind of sat there for a while, didn't tell a fucking soul that had happened. I called in sick. I told him, like, hey, I'm throwing up, whatever it was. I made something up.
Right.
Woke up the next morning, and I was like, okay, that was weird. You know, we're going to move on. That never happened. Don't tell anybody about that.
Right.
So, like, a week later, I'm sitting at Subway, and I'm, I got my sandwich, and I'm sitting there, and I go to take a bite, and the same thing starts happening. And I'm going fucking crazy. There's nothing going on around me, and I didn't understand, like, what panic meant until these couple of instances. And I just have, like, a complete fucking breakdown right there in the food court. Left my food, went and got in my car. I'm just sitting in my car, like, crying. I'm thinking I'm going to die. There's nothing going on, you know? And I kind of was like, okay. It subsided, you know? It was probably, it wasn't, I don't know how much time. But it subsided, and I called a really good friend of mine who I knew had dealt with things in his life, Keith Woodall. Keith, you probably don't listen to this, but thank you. I called Keith up, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. Something's going on. This has happened twice in a week. Like, I need help. I don't know what the fuck to do. And he's like, where are you? You know, it's like, where are you at? And I tell him, he's like, okay, stay there. Just hang out. And he's like, I'm going to call you back. So Keith calls me back, and he's like, okay, man, don't worry about work. You're good to go. You don't need to come to work. You have an appointment on whatever it was, Wednesday, Thursday. You're going to go see a doctor, and they're going to get it figured out. Go home, like, hang out. You're going to be fine. So I go home. I had called the, actually, the other thing I did when I got, and people don't realize this. When I got home, I called the mental health hotline because I was like, there's clearly something going on here. Well, that's a great tool, but they ask you the same questions right away. Like, what's going on? Are you going to hurt yourself? Are you going to hurt others? Anything like that. If you're not thinking about hurting yourself, I'm like, no, motherfucker, I think I'm going to die. I'm terrified. Like, you know what I mean? Not to get, I'm like, that's the last thing on my mind. I'm in, like, this crazy.
I'm having a heart attack.
Like, and I don't know why. If you're not thinking about hurting yourself or, like, hurting other people, then you get kind of.
And you can't lie about those things.
No.
Because then it's like you're in a whole nother fucking level.
Exactly. Now you have a whole different set of problems.
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of shit. But you're going to be in the cuckoo fucking.
Yeah,
house.
Exactly. So you kind of get pushed to the back of the line. And I was like, man, this, I didn't know, you know, you don't know what you don't know. It was new experiences for me.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening, I had a really good doctor who kind of got me seen pretty quick. It still took a long time. It was like 6 months before I started getting any help.
Did you have any other experiences?
Yeah, it was. So those were the two worst that it's ever been. Those were like full on meltdowns,
right.
You know? But the thing is, like, how do I even explain this? I didn't know what was going on. So I was trying to distract myself from the problem and the root cause of what was causing this issue.
Right.
And that made it worse. That made it a lot worse because I wanted to surround myself with my family and my kids, you know what I mean? And be around them.
Yeah.
And so I'd be outside, like, playing with my kids, and I wouldn't, this thing, whatever this is on my mind. At the time, I didn't know. But whatever this was on my mind all the time. So I'm out there with my son trying to play with him, and I'm not actually happy right now because I'm afraid of this thing that's going on, right? Well, then you get even more in your own head. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm playing with my son. Why am I not happy right now? Then it can get even darker.
It's, you know, crippling.
It's 100%
crippling. Yeah.
That's the only way to put it because you can't get away from it.
And people listening, there's a lot of people listening that go through this exact same thing because this happens so often.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that they're having a heart attack or they're having a stroke or mm-hmm. they've never dealt with anxiety. Like, why do I have anxiety? Or before we get into it real quick, did you, and you might speak about this, but whatever, I'm jumping ahead. Did you ever get to the solution of, like, what happened? Of, like, what triggered it?
Yeah, and that was one of it took a while, you know, like, and
sure.
we can hammer
sure.
it is crippling if you've ever experienced it. The only thing you ever want is for it to go away. You just want it to stop.
Right.
One of the best things that I was super fortunate to have, I have great friends. I have amazing friends. The first people to know about this were Porky and Dan, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And they were like, whatever you need.
Yeah.
No questions. That was amazing. But you know, you're afraid of it. You don't want to tell anybody about it.
That's what I was going to say. It's good for you for actually speaking up and saying anything to your friends. Because most of the time, us guys will just hold on to it.
Yeah. But once the second one happened, I was like, no, I need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the kind of ironic thing was I started telling some of the guys that I worked with about it. And they were like, yeah, like what?
Typical guy stuff.
They're like, this just started happening to you?
Oh.
And I'm like, wait, what? Like, and they're like, what the fuck? You thought you were fucking Superman? Like, you thought this was, you thought you were just going to go
right.
hang out a helicopter at 3,000 feet every single day and not take any of that home? Like, wow. You thought that that was just going to be.
Yeah,
and
I
was
like, yeah, I did. Asshole.
Yeah, until now, that's what I did. Yeah, you know?
I was Superman and I'm fucking not now.
Yeah, like, I can fucking rappel 120 feet through some trees and not have an issue, but I try to order my fucking sandwich at the deli and the world's falling apart. You know what I mean? So eventually it took some time, but having those guys around to kind of be able to talk to and realizing how many people were dealing with it was huge for me.
Yeah.
Because then, like, the way I grew up, like, you just fucking dealt with it. Like, there was shit happening all the time, and none of that ever affected me. Why am I now 30 years old and I can't get through a meal or whatever it is? I can't do anything. So talking to those guys and realizing that was really big for me, like, okay, I'm not fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was. And then eventually they got me into therapy, man, and that was huge. Like, that was kind of understanding. I went to a course one time too, and it was like stress management within search and rescue. And they went around the room, and it was like a meeting. It felt like a meeting. And everybody kind of talked about their experiences. And you see, like, some of the hardest people in that room just breaking down, talking about experiences that they've had and things that they've gone through and dealt with. And it just kind of makes you, and in one way, it makes you appreciate it. You're not alone in it. And it just makes it, I don't know, it's kind of a strength in numbers thing.
Sure.
But one thing that they told me was, like, everything you're going through is a normal reaction to being put in an abnormal situation. And that was the truth.
Well, past trauma can also just come up at the weirdest times.
Yeah.
And that's probably what happened. Actually, I can almost guarantee you that's what happened because, you know, we stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and you probably didn't really work on the things besides, like, wanting to run away from the situation or, like, get, I'm sorry,
that's fair.
But I mean, just like removing yourself from that situation, but not working on the trauma.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Your friend getting killed and, like, all of that drama and anxiety about
everything.
If you're thinking every year that you or your friends are going to get shot and that's mm-hmm. a pretty high guarantee that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's gonna put stress and anxiety on somebody.
Yeah, and you know, and when you're 25, you're just like, whatever. Well, no, there was stuff we did up in Lemoore that, like, we'd go do something, we'd get some crazy ass rescue that was just like, it was cool, man. Like, I loved it in the moment, I loved it, and then we'd get back and be like, we're never talking about that again. You know what I mean?
Were you guys doing like, did you guys ever do like accidents or?
It wasn't so much car accidents. It was a lot of essentially people putting themselves in positions where a mistake could be fatal or anything like that, right? Like rock climbers.
Right.
Like this past year with all the rain we got a couple of really good like swift water rescues.
Wow.
That kind of stuff. But wow. I mean, you would be up there. And so here's the thing, like California's Office of Emergency Services is pretty great. They have a lot of assets. There's a lot of funding in this state. There's not another asset in that area that could perform night hoist and recovery. So any call after 8 p.m. that nobody else could do was the call that we would get. So we never got like, hey, this dude's lost, go find him. It was always like, hey, this dude has like some kind of, I mean, there was a couple of those, don't get me wrong, but more than often it was like some guy was climbing a mountain and fell and his belay man didn't catch him and now he's at the bottom and he's all broken up. You know what I mean? And wow. You had to figure out how to dissect that. So I think that was kind of, it was cool, man. I loved it. It was the most rewarding experience I've ever had in my life because somebody right now, like somewhere, somebody's dying and somebody else is on the way to make sure that they don't. Like,
so crazy to think about.
Yeah, and that's...
Yeah, just put that in perspective. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. This is going to air in a couple days, for whatever the fuck. But you know what I mean? The same scenario's happening.
Yep, hundreds of times between now and then. So I think a lot of it was we were doing stuff that we absolutely loved, and it was the coolest thing in the world, and there was a lot of baggage that came with it. Mm. And nobody really talked about it. You know what I mean? Well, then I'm trying to go home and be a normal person. You know, I just did something ridiculous at 12,000 feet, and now I got to come home and my babies are so excited to see me. I haven't had that time to kind of process everything that just happened. You know?
How was your relationship with your wife then too?
Amazing. Like she...
What, going through these, I mean, were there times where you're like shut off? Because you're saying like you're with your kids and like, why am I thinking about that? But I was like, you know, I always think about, me, I always think about what I do because it affects other people and it affects the people that are so closest. Like, unfortunately, there were times where my anger would be released to my wife, and then, you know what I mean? She would be like, whoa, motherfucker, this ain't my shit, you know?
Right.
So how was that?
That was, so the first time it ever happened, she was the only person I told, and I'm having like a meltdown in the kitchen. Like, right. I am like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Something's going on. Mm-hmm. And she's never seen this side of me. I've always been, I'd like to think of like a great example of what a husband and a man should be. You know what I mean? Right. And so she sees me in this.
What's going on, guys? Dustin with the LFG 1904 show. Proud to announce our partnership with Law Tigers. If you have been in a motorcycle accident, let's get you the compensation you deserve today and get you back on the road. Go ahead and call this number, 858-306-1986. Once again, that number is 858-306-1986. Law Tigers, nationwide. Doesn't matter where you're at. Call that number. LFG.
The emotional state. And she was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is wrong with you? That was rough. You know what I mean? But it was completely fair on her part.
For sure.
To ask that question. But she was like, what is wrong with you? Like, what is going on? Just trying to help me. Right. But that phrasing kind of,
you know, for sure.
It made it stressful. But she started to, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, and probably for her, and obviously I don't know, but in her mind, there's probably, I mean, who knows? She could have been just like, there's something wrong. Or me, I'm just thinking my wife, she'd be like, is this motherfucker using again? Or what's going on? You know what I mean? Yeah, is he cheating? Like, what is he freaking out about?
Yeah,
you know?
100%. That was, and it took her, she didn't, understand it right away because I didn't understand it. I couldn't explain it, you know?
Right.
And then eventually I was trying to like explain it. I just need to be by myself for a little bit. Like I would go hide in my room, dude, and I couldn't get out. Like I couldn't leave.
So you're isolating.
I was 100% isolating, like, because I was fucking terrified. I didn't want to do anything that was going to get my heart rate up because I was fucking afraid of it. And so she was like really cool, really understanding. And then she started to see it like here and there. We'd be doing things and she was like, hey, are you good? Are you here right now? And I was like, I'm here. And she was like, you're not. You're here, but you're not here. Like, she started to physically see it. And I was super jumpy for a while there. She would have to come around the corner. Like, I stay up late. I'd be out there, like, watching TV or whatever. And she would just come around the corner, and I would freak out, dude. Like, like screaming, yelling, like it was bad. So what she started to do was come out of the bedroom, like get a glass of water. She'd start clapping her hands, like so that I knew she was coming, dude. It was like,
oh, what a fucking saint.
It was nuts. Yeah, she's the most amazing woman.
I can honestly hear my wife. I'm coming out, you big fucking pussy. Here I come.
Right? Like, dude, it was.
Different dynamics, dude. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. But yeah, that was a trip because she had to go through all this as well. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And there was a lot of things that changed. Like, I'm very careful to this day. There's a group of people that I feel very safe and very comfortable with. And then I'm pretty careful just about who I surround myself with. Cause like, if something like this happens to me in public, I'm gonna be like, oh shit. But you know what I mean? And now I'm airing it all out. So, but it took her a while to understand. Like, for a while, we used to go all kinds of places, you know, take the kids out. We'd be at the fair or whatever it is, like a ton of people. I was like, I can't do that right now. Like, I can't be around a shit ton of people. You know what I mean? And she would just start adjusting her questions. Like, if we were going to plan on doing something, she'd be like, hey, do you need some time? Or what do you think about doing this on Thursday? And I'll be like, well, we'll see how I feel. And there was times that I couldn't go. You know what I mean? Like, they would go off and do stuff. And I was like, I can't leave the house today. You know, because there was such a big gap between the problem starting and me getting help. And the whole time I'm like Googling, but I'm also afraid to Google what's going on. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the worst. Don't ever do that.
Don't ever WebMD.
I've died so many times. You know what I mean? I've had syphilis and fucking, you know, so many crazy things where I'm like, I tell Lisa and she's like, don't ever do that again. You know, I'm like, well, it says I have cancer.
Yeah, like that's like, it. That's it. Like, yeah. So I'm trying to do research. I'm trying to figure out kind of what's going on with me. And I'm talking to my good buddies and explaining them, you know, kind of what I'm going through. One thing I did that I do not regret was I was in the gym all the time. I was taking 2 cups of coffee in the morning and then a couple energy drinks at work, pre-workout before the gym.
Oh my God.
Dude, I don't know if that was causing it, but I know it wasn't helping. So anybody that knows me now, You'll never see me pick up an energy drink. You'll never see me do pre-workout. I will do a cup of coffee every day, and that is all the caffeine I'm putting in my body.
Wow. How was that transition? Because I know for some, like our friend Ian, right? He drinks so many energy, and I shouldn't say that. He probably drinks like two a day. Maybe at one time he was drinking more.
Right.
And then he stopped, and he got fucking cuckoo.
Yeah.
Like he was like going through withdrawals.
Yep.
And it was fucking wild. Like he was depressed and all these things. So did that happen with you at all? Because that's a high intake.
There was so much already going on with me. I was already like, I felt fucking strung out. Like I just, you know, I couldn't sleep. And so I'm sure it affected me. I tried to quit dipping at the same time. And then I was like, that ain't gonna fucking work. Like this is too much.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it affected me, but I was so, I couldn't have told you because every day was terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was just constantly in the forefront of my mind. And then eventually I know it did help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that not taking all that, because now, and this all sounds super weird up to this point, but now it's manageable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still have my moments, you know what I mean? But I've kind of figured out some tools and some things that I know I can't do, some things that I shouldn't put in my body, that kind of stuff. It becomes something that you can kind of defeat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so for anybody, Tommy from Sketchy by Nature, you kind of inspired me a little bit. And I just kind of want to reiterate a lot, but anybody, whether you're in the military or not, or anything that's going on, if you're having stuff like that, there's numbers you can call. There's people you can call. Call me, call anybody on my team. Anybody will help you. If you have any of this stuff, it's not just you.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone. No. And that's the thing. So, like, for instance, my disease wants to tell me that it's just you, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's, like, the furthest thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, man, good thing you didn't have a disease like what I have, because, honestly, like, I would imagine that people that are in your same scenario or situation, like, they'll pick up a drink.
Yeah.
And then they pick it up, and then they don't stop.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
exactly.
You didn't go that route. You're more or less of trying to figure it out. But, man, I can just see addicts creating more of a mess for themselves when you get into something like that, you know? And
right.
I know for myself, too, anxiety is, like, the worst feeling.
Yeah.
And it's, man, it doesn't discriminate. It will just fucking, like, pop its rear ugly, fucking disgusting head up at any moment.
You're just
like,
driving to work.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, what the fuck? I was just thinking about fucking rainbows and butterflies, and now I'm about to fucking die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's like, nothing going on. It's invisible.
Yeah.
And nobody else sees what you've got going on. You know what I mean? But
nobody does.
It's, it was brutal, man. But, I mean, pretty much, it's not gone away. You know what I mean? It's still going to probably
because you don't medicate, right?
Nope.
So there's that too, and that's a fantastic thing, because every doctor just wants to give you a prescription, and therefore that prescription is going to work for a little while. This is very important for people to hear too. And listen, I am no fucking MD, but I've been an addict my entire fucking life, and I've tried to self medicate, and I've gone doctor shopping, and I've done all these things. And the problem is, the problem was always was me, but I needed to find a solution. You know what I mean? And clearly you found your solution, but it's like, and then here's another aspect of it. If you need to take medicine, by all means, take the fucking medicine, but just understand that eventually it's going to wear off, and then you're going to have to try something new too.
Right.
And honestly, I don't suffer from mental illness. I have anxiety, and I have all these things that's normally triggered by something. But the fact of the matter is, like, look, if there's mental illness and you need to be prescribed medicine, please. That's not what I'm saying. Don't go into something just to where you're like, give me some pills, give me some Xanax or some bullshit for my anxiety, because there's other ways that you can cope and deal with it.
And there's probably a root cause that you need to address as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've learned. Like, I know what I can and can't do now. You know what I mean? And that's something that you, I don't want to say, don't just cover that up. Find out what that is. You know what I mean? Find out what's causing you to feel these ways.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, energy drinks are so fucking bad for you. And honestly, we're the generation that we're going to find out eventually what they do. Because
we are the guinea pigs.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's really new, right? Yeah. It's just like there's been, what is something that we can talk about?
Zin.
Yeah, but like, say cigarettes, right? You know
right.
what I mean? Like, I mean, these cigarettes were okay. The next thing you know, it's like boom, boom, boom. I mean, but at first they weren't, you know, they've always been bad, but we're the guinea pigs to these energy drinks, and there's and there's a lot of fucking shit in them, mm-hmm. you know? So I know, I feel bad because I still drink an energy drink before I go to the gym.
Oh, do your thing.
I know. And it's like,
get it.
I know, but it's
that
like
pump, dude. That fucking,
yeah, but it really doesn't even do anything to me. A cup of coffee works just as fine. Uh-huh. But the problem is I have such a high intake to where about 4 o'clock, I'm going to start having a headache. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yep.
But I noticed when I stopped and I only had a cup of coffee and I fought through that headache, the days got better.
Yep.
So
100%.
But the goddamn pre-workout, bro, that shit is gnarly.
Boy, that, hey.
That shit was giving me kidney stones.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sick pumps, though.
Bro, the fucking, the huge. Fucking needles.
You're
on
all
the,
vascular
the fucking
shit?
Needles and tinglies on your neck and ears, bro. I got the funniest video.
Weights.
Bro, I got the funniest video. I sent to fucking Ian and the boys, and I'm like, when the fucking pre-workout hits, I'm fucking just going fucking nuts, bro. And it fucking, wow, bro.
Yep.
There's a couple times where I took pre-workout, and I'm like, I'm fucking high.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I just did a fat shot of meth. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, whoo, tingling.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's be honest. It's not healthy.
No, it's
your
bad
body's,
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your body's not meant to probably handle all that.
No.
But, you know what I mean?
And that was, like, years of, like...
abuse.
Oh, dude. And then, like, let's be honest here. I'm in the Navy. Like, it's pretty much a national pastime in the Navy.
Right.
To drink alcohol.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Like, that was, you know, you're ripping vodka Red Bulls. You know how bad that is for you?
Mm.
And you're taking upper and downer at the same time. Like, this is terrible. Everything about this is bad. But, yeah.
So you never had a problem with alcohol, though? Okay.
Was,
so, the next topic.
There was a period, I didn't expect to tell this story. Probably. I wouldn't say I had a problem, but I definitely drank too much. Like,
right.
Way too much. And... like a year ago, I got that very under control. And I would, people would be like, oh, so how much do you drink? And I'm like, well, how much do I have?
Oof.
Like, I'm one of those. Like, if there's a bottle of whiskey here, then we're drinking a bottle of whiskey. If there's a 30 rack here, I'll drink that 30 rack. Like, I can put down some booze. Like, last year, I was just drinking in the garage. It was like a fucking Wednesday. And, I ran out of booze. It was like 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. And I was like, corner store closes at 11. So I was making my way up there. I was going to grab a couple of White Claws. Whatever the fuck I was drinking. I don't know. For no reason. I was by myself.
Right.
And I just kind of stopped. I made it like right short of the parking lot. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you have to work tomorrow. You know, like, what is wrong with you?
Mm.
And I just did a U-turn and went back to the house and walked back in the house. And I swear to God, this is meant to happen. As I'm walking back in the house, my 2-year-old son at the time is coming out of the room crying. And he's like looking for me or his mom. And I was like, holy shit, I almost wasn't here.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting shit faced in the driveway by myself. You know?
By yourself.
Like, fuck, asshole.
You're such a fucking redneck. Were you listening to Hank too?
Yeah, exactly. Some Hank Williams.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, man. So that's something like I'll still drink, but I don't know when the last time I went to a bar was or any of, you know what I mean? Like, it's not. I'll have a glass of wine with dinner. I'll have a couple of beers. Like, we'll be at the boys. You know, we'd go up to Dan's house, and I'd be like, all right, I guess I'm staying here tonight because I'm not driving home. You know what I mean?
Right.
We still get a little rowdy, but it's nothing compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you start seeing, I've been talking about this a lot on the podcast because I'm just fascinated by people that have self-awareness. And, I mean, honestly, my self-awareness is it's very high now.
Mm-hmm.
However, it wasn't at one time.
Right.
Right? But, I mean, for you to recognize that, especially, you know, you and I have talked off air. I remember a conversation we were having about, you know, how certain people in our lives will stop drinking because of their kids, right? And like, just be like, man, I don't want to be away from them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, even for me, I mean, it was like, man, once booze and drugs were in my system, it didn't even fucking matter.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck.
And a lot of that is who you surround yourself with as well.
100%.
Like, I surround myself with successful individuals. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, if you look at, like, Porky's essentially sober. Like, I mean, he pretty much is. I don't know when the last time I saw him take a sip of alcohol.
He told me he doesn't drink.
Yeah, no, he really doesn't. Like, I don't know when the last time I saw that dude drink was.
Right.
And I don't think it's even, like, a challenge for him. He's just so mentally strong. He's like, no.
Like, how funny was that, though? I just remember the podcast, what we did over there at the fucking Biltwell Parts and Labor Show 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And fucking Porky comes on and he's like, oh, no, podcasts are not my thing. And then he came on and he like stole the show. Dude, I want to actually go back and listen to that show because that was fucking funny.
And the thing about him is he's like that 24/7. Yeah. Like, we get hotel rooms, we go to these shows. He wakes up, that alarm's off at 5 in the morning. Wake up, motherfucker, we got shit to do. Like, he's rolling the second that he wakes up. There is no pause.
What I was going to say, though, it's really great because he was kind of goofing on somebody. And that fucker's still sober.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think that's kind of cool to see because, you know, people actually do change.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's the fucking miracle. And especially for you to witness stuff like that is really fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you're, whether or not anybody wants to admit it, you're always going to be a product of your environment. You're going to be a product of who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with people that are getting fucked up every day, what do you think you're going to do?
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's true. I mean, I had, like, you know, you're talking about having good people around you. Like, I had good people around me, too. But, man, my fucking disease and my fucking selfishness of, like, wanting... Well, I take that back. I had good people around me, but I chose not to be around them.
Right. No. I get that.
You know
that.
What I mean? Yep. And then I was...
You had this other thing.
I was around people that were just going to okey-doke my shit and, like, you know, like, hey, let's go... blah, 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 you know?
Yep.
And that's really been the story of my life. I've had great people around me. I just chose not to be around them.
Right.
I distance myself from them, or I create this fucking, this thing, this fucking funk to where they don't even like me anymore. You know what I mean? And that's that brings me comfort too. So now it's like easier.
Right. Right.
And sometimes that's still like the same way with me, which is really fucked up. You know.
Yeah.
People relationships with people, it's like one of the fucking hardest things.
Yeah.
It really is. I fucking say it all the time, too, on here. I'm like, man, being in a relationship with a female, like, in recovery, it's like fucking by far the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Right.
Because I'm such a selfish prick. I'm such a fucking me. You know what I mean? Me. What do you mean about you? What? You know, so.
We were sitting here earlier. Yeah. Elise brought us food, and you're like, I don't have time for your shit. And I'm like, brave man.
Yeah. Take notes, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Still got his burrito.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we have a really good relationship. Honestly, there's a for anybody that's going to be able to put up with me, for one. But no, for two, it's like communication, and it was never easy. Being in a relationship and recovery is not hard. I just said it. But you have to have communication.
Right.
And it has to be appropriate. And there's been plenty of times where it wasn't. But, man, having a family now is just something fucking...
It changes everything, dude. It changes everything.
So special.
Yep.
100%. So special.
100%.
It's literally the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, after everything's said and done, like, the amount of love that I have for her right now, too, is...
The appreciation.
Fuck, it's like, so incredible, bro. Like, the things that I just look at her, and I'm, like, just amazed by her. And it was funny. I'm, like, joking around with her. I'm, like, do you still love me? And she's, like, well, I know that you love me more, but I got to keep it that way. You know what I mean? I'm, like, whatever the fuck that means. But, hey, it's so true. And it's, like, I look at my family, and I just sit there, and I'm, like, man, I fucking just love my life.
Yep.
You know,
I just love my life. You see it, like, as soon as Wyatt wakes up, you're in there. Now, next thing, you already got the goldfish ready to go. Ready, like, you and your boy just hanging out.
Ready,
you
know, to fucking rock and roll.
Yep. No, absolutely, man. So it's beautiful.
When did you start feeling, you know, better? And what was the solution? What, you had to get into some sort of solution about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see a therapist every Monday. It was, what is it? It's January right now. So, I think April of 23 was when it started kind of happening to me. March, April time frame. I think it was March. I started seeing somebody in like August, and just that weekly, I mean, they tell you there's all kinds of things you're going to learn. I don't know, like breathing exercises and distraction, and all that kind of stuff. You're going to do all that kind of stuff, but just accepting that it's a part of my life now was the biggest thing.
Right.
And I had to just kind of be a man about it and be like, this sucks. This is what's going to happen. There's probably a lot of things that you've done in your life that have caused you to experience some or have some of this, right? But you've also lived a very full life at only 31 years old. I've done a lot of cool things. And I hate to say, like, I've, like, what did I think was going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, you wanted to go jump out of helicopters for a living and you thought you were just going to hang out forever. Yeah. Like, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's a pretty funny thing that somebody told you.
Yeah.
Like, you what? You think you're going to do this job that's and have, there's no recompense?
Yeah, like, what did you think? That was Keith. He was like, what? Did you think you were just going to be cool
there's
forever?
There's no consequences? Wait, what?
No,
motherfucker. Not, here. Like, knock, knock. Here. We're going to come right through this door and kick your chest right in.
Repo, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, you're crazy now. Like, so, I mean, it was just accepting it. That was the number one thing, because I was just fucking terrified of forever for months. I was terrified of it.
Right.
And then kind of seeing other people go through the same thing and understanding, like, okay, these people live similar lives to me. They're dealing with something too. So I'm not super off, or there's nothing necessarily wrong with me was probably the biggest hurdle, because I thought something was wrong with me. And I'm the only person that sees this. I'm the only person that knows this is going on for no reason. So acknowledging that other people were dealing with it, and then realizing, like, yeah, you've done some shit in your life that makes you physically uncomfortable sometimes for no apparent reason, you know? And that was, and then honestly, the therapy fucking helps, man. Like having somebody kind of air it out and talk to, you know what I mean? Or like, even I still tell the boys, like, I got this going on. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, I need a day. Like, I can't, sometimes, like, I don't, sometimes I need a day, man. And then just taking care of your body, like eating better, going to the gym, not boosting all the time, not putting taurine and fucking caffeine and whatever else is in all that stuff. Right. All of that helps, but it's been months. You know what I mean? And it's not gone. Like, it'll probably happen this week. You know, I'll be trying to go to bed. I'll feel my heartbeat. I'll get scared. There will be nothing going on. It'll be completely fine. And just accepting that, you know what I mean? Also, I also like to stay busy, dude. I can't.
I've noticed. He was in the shop today, and he was like trying to, like, he was literally trying to work, and he was like, hey, do you need your trash cans in? Like, so, I mean, yeah, I can see that.
There's a nervous energy that I kind of,
I'm the same way. That's why I was saying, I'm like, I'm not a couch guy, you know what I mean? Nope. I have to stay. I'll stay and watch the TV standing up in my garage, you know, compared to, like, sitting down. Now, obviously, if I'm going to spend time with my, you know, my wife, whatever, but normally, no. You know what I mean? That's not me. It's not in my DNA. Like, I'll figure
something to do.
Yeah. I'll figure something out. You know, I mean, you know, being off work right now with, you know, having a new baby and all that, like, there's days where I wanted to spend time with her because she's not very mobile, or she wasn't at the time. And I told her, I'm like, I got to get going.
I got something to do.
You know, this has been 24 hours of me hanging out, you know, and, and it's starting to fucking really affect me to where it makes me feel like, you know, I don't know, worthless, you know, like just not myself. I got to stay busy.
You got to stay busy, man. I was talking to my buddy Dave the other day, and I hadn't told him about any of the stuff that we just talked about, but he was asking me about the move and everything that's going on, and your family's here, and you're going to move to Escondido, and you just started a new job. He's like, motherfucker, this is the time you decided to try to start a podcast? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I need to be busy at all. And that's kind of the thing, like, just because I'm being honest about it, it's something I haven't acknowledged and I'm going to get better about, and I'm going to try to get better about, is being comfortable with myself when it's just me. Like, I'm going to try to start meditating or journaling or something, because that downtime that does come up, that's when it happens to me. And when I'm by myself, I don't do well. That's my next step. You know what I mean? It's kind of tackling that problem. And I mean, that podcast you did last week with Tommy, I called him afterwards. I was like, dude, holy shit.
Phenomenal.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I had the feedback that, honestly, I mean, I get great feedback, by the way, guys. Thank you so much for giving me feedback. Even if it's poor, I don't care. Like, feedback for the podcast, like, I want to grow. I want to be better. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all very new to me, you know, even though I've been doing it for a while. But so the feedback's great. The feedback that I got from Tommy, I mean, even my fucking father-in-law. And I know he's a fan and he supports me, right? But he commented on the post and he was like, when I saw him, he was like, oh my God, that podcast was so good.
Yeah, man.
Tommy, dude, you're 25 years old. You got the fucking world by the balls.
Dude, that young man has more life experience and resiliency than anybody his age probably in the world. Like, that dude is 25. I was listening to it on my way to work.
Yeah.
And just the story about him being in the hospital, I could feel myself getting worked up. I had to pause it.
Yeah.
And I called you. And I think you were at work or something. I was like, holy shit.
I know.
Like, because I've known Tommy for a little while, and I knew he'd been in a bad accident.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the story, though. You know what I mean? I called him that night and was like, holy shit, bro. Like,
see, these are the experiences that you're going to be. These are the things that you're going to be able to experience now. Because once you start having a conversation with people, things just come out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Especially when it's natural and organic and you're not faking it. It's not like, you know, you have a fucking notepad, which sometimes that's good too on certain guests. Like, I love it. Papa Juan comes on and he gives me, you know, 10 things that he wants to bring up.
Right.
Fantastic. There's other people that have
Shut
done
up,
that.
Papa Juan.
I know. Fucking prick. And then it's like, you know, there's whatever. But Tommy was so fluent. But I just told him, I go, bro, your message is so strong.
The way that he speaks Like, he's so well articulated, and it just, it's like, I felt like I was reading a book. Uh-huh. Like, listening to him talk, I was like, and then I realized, like, I didn't hear Dustin say anything in 30 minutes, because he's just rolling, you know?
I know my mood, I know my place, you know what I mean? I know that people want to hear, it was like, we had Randy on, and nobody's heard this yet, but whatever, they will.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck I just tried to say, but it hasn't launched yet, so you didn't, okay. Anyways, but the dude has 41 years clean. And he was talking the entire time, but it was one of those things like where people, so a lot of times people, when they speak in meetings, they'll have a cassette or a CD, right? This is years ago. And so they'll be on road trips and they would put in this guy speaking at a convention. Mm-hmm. And he talks about his whole story. Well, this was just like that. I mean, of course, there was a few things that I talked about, but I know my place, especially when somebody is so fluent and they're just like on it.
Yep.
I'm not going to interrupt that.
Yep.
Like, you just, you know, you sit there, and I just remember sitting right where I'm at and looking over at Tommy, and I'm just like,
whoa. Mind you, it's 5 a.m.
I know. Like, amazed. I mean, amazed.
Yeah, that dude's got some mental fortitude.
Amazed. Yeah, I know. It's like, it's so true, but it's a lot like you, though, too. And I was just telling my wife this. It's like, Taylor, I want to be around people like you. You know what I mean?
Appreciate
and
that.
I have a lot of great friends and a lot of people around me, you know what I mean? But it's all about growing and about meeting new people and like changing and wanting to be a better person. And you want to surround yourself with good people. And like Tommy's like the same kind of guy, man. I'm like, man, I wish I lived in Oregon or, you know, you lived here, because I want people like you in my life. You know, you're fucking a great, just a great human.
Yep. He's as good as it gets, man.
Yeah.
He's as good as it gets.
You're going to be able to experience some of this stuff too, because you're going to meet people not knowing their story and just being fluent in this thing, and you know, you're finding out all these things, and you're like, holy shit, I love podcasts, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? I love listening to podcasts, and especially when they're really good, and you're like finding out about people's darkest secrets, and they want to fucking it's so weird.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Bro, and they want to come on and they want to share, thinking that nobody's going to hear. Well, guess what? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
there's people that are listening.
He's a perfect example of that, because I've known him for a little while.
Right.
I'd seen the brace on his leg. He had told me about an accident, but I didn't know the extent of what that young man went through.
I know.
You know, it's powerful.
It's so fun too, man. When you get people, you know, on the podcast, it's like I've had a few people on to where I'm like, oh, this is going to crush.
Yeah.
Thinking. And then I have to like keep asking questions, which is fine. You know what I mean? That in some sense, that's my job. Right. But there's some, it's like, I look at them and they're like petrified. And I'm like, holy shit. And I get it, dude. I mean, even starting the podcast, you know, like there's a few times where I'm just, I mean, you can hear back. I'm mumble mouth, like not knowing what to do. And, you know, every podcast, there, you can tell that there's some uncomfortability until you get that comfort level. Mm-hmm. And then it's like,
that was me 15 minutes ago. I know all the guys that know me are going to be like, why were you talking so fast? You were nervous.
Yeah.
So like that's
well, you're just saying it's something that's deep. But honestly, you know, you have so many traits of what we have in recovery. You know what I mean? Of like self-help, and you want to do things and you have to talk about it. The more that you keep a secret, like secrets keep you sick.
100%.
You know what I mean? And that's going to keep you sick, and it's going to build your anxiety more if you don't talk about it. And the fact of the matter is, bro, there's so many people that are living this way right now and are fearful.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
They're living in fear because they don't want to be judged, or they don't want somebody to make fun of them, ridicule, whatever the fuck it is, because they are going through something.
Yep.
And a lot of times if they don't talk about it,
it gets worse.
Suicide.
Yep.
Drinking.
Yep.
Drugs. Beating their wife, whatever the fuck it is, that happens.
Mm-hmm. And that was like, I was so fortunate that I had people around me that when I did come and I did kind of tell them what I had going on, nobody blinked.
Right.
Everybody's like, okay.
Isn't that crazy?
It was so, dude, I'm so lucky. Yeah. I'm so lucky.
Because in our head, we're like, oh, they're going to fucking judge me. Oh, fucking, they're going to say this, or they're going to talk me on my back.
Mm-hmm. And or people are going to know. Just people are going to know. That was my... Know what? Who gives a fuck?
Right.
Like,
well, the more that you're out and say you're in public, and then somebody that suffers or goes through the same sort of thing, they can identify that, and then you can relate.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I kind of wanted to tell people that, because I was there and I didn't want anybody to know. And if you're going through that, do not keep that shit a secret.
Oh.
Air it out. Tell somebody. Message me on Instagram, message Dustin, whoever, like seriously.
I know.
Because I know it's crippling, and it doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to stay that way.
It doesn't, no. That's the beauty behind a podcast, too, is, you know, we reach so many people and we talk about different things on the show. I mean, yes, it's recovery-based, but we talk about motorcycle riding, we talk about events, and we talk about fucking dick jokes and all this other shit. But at the end of the day, we're here to help the other suffering person, mm-hmm. no matter what that case is. And the suffering could be not just drinking or drugs.
Right.
It could be mental. It could be whatever.
It could be anything.
And honestly, I might not have the solution, but I can promise you I know somebody that does. And I'm more than happy to share whatever I can with anybody.
Right. Right.
And that's why we're an open book.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, here, reach out to me. There's my fucking Instagram. Here's my email. I don't give a fuck what you do.
If you're listening to the podcast, you know how to get a hold of Dustin.
Yeah, it's fucking fine. Yep. But that's cool because, I mean, my hope is that somebody hears this and then they reach out to you and then you get good feedback from it too. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sure that will happen because somebody, this is so relatable, bro.
Yeah. I mean,
so relatable.
Everybody, everything, that's what I was saying earlier. Instagram's not a real place because everybody does a really good job of portraying what they want to on there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't realize what people actually have going on. You know what I mean?
Right. I love seeing that, like, people, and I've been I've done this myself. It's like, you know, you paint this picture of like a fucking great life, you know,
perfect.
But I'm dying inside, you know what I mean? Or my living situation is not the best. Right. And I see it all the time. And I'm like, especially with friends that I know that they're going through some shit. And I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, why? I mean, okay, if that makes you feel better, sure. If you want to post with your significant other, but I know that you fucking hate her or him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, there's so much life to live. Oh,
100%.
Jesus fucking Christ. Just knock it off already. Jesus fucking knock it off. Ay, ay, ay.
So what do you guys got coming up next?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for asking.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I'm conducting the interview.
There's
here,
absolutely fucking nothing going on. I'm just kidding. It's really hard because I'm like, I'm going to drop this episode and probably like, I don't know, probably do next week. I have so many built up right now, which is great, you know. Yeah. I really feel great about the podcast right now when we're getting a really good message out there. And, you know, you guys that are fucking listening, man, I appreciate it. It's really cool to see. The analytics. I know fucking Tom makes fun of me for saying analytics because it's so fucking fun. But the thing of it is, it's just wild to me that like people in fucking Afghanistan want to listen. Like they're literally, there's military people. Well, maybe not now because nobody's there. But
supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly. Motherfucker. Yeah, you don't know shit. You know, but I talk about it. It's like Australia is fucking massive for us. They love fucking LMG.
How fucking cool is that?
I know. It's Australia. we're picking up fucking in England. We're picking up like new people all the time too. Yeah. So anyways, it's just fucking really rad. What do we have? We have an event, but that's going to be passed by the time you guys hear this. So, and I'm doing a drop, but that's already going to be passed too. So, you know, just go ahead and check the website
just
out.
Grinding.
You know? Yeah. LMG 1904 guys. You know what I mean? I mean, here's the deal. Like, you know, this is, you know, this podcast is free, but, you know, at the end of the day, I sell shirts, so go and buy a fucking shirt.
Yeah, 100%. Support Dustin LG. You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, honestly, like, future stuff is really cool. Like, we have a ride that we're trying to get into works right now. We're going to do a big pack ride to Sturgis, so.
Oh, you're in Sturgis.
We're going to work out a deal right now. With our fucking partnership with Law Tigers.
Shout out to Law Tigers.
Yeah, shout the fuck out. You guys are fucking... Gabriel's the fucking man. We're trying to get a whole camping spot. So, I mean, this is all still fresh, but I can't wait till I can finally announce and just be like, all right, guys, here's the fucking
deal. I have the information.
You know what I mean?
This is the flyer.
There's some great events that are going to be happening, man. Like, this summer is going to be fantastic. You know what I was going to say to you too, man? Like, yeah, the... meditating and all that sort of stuff. And they're like, I don't know if you believe in God or higher power or whatever the fuck, but like praying has been a humongous help for me.
Really?
And it's like, it's an outer body experience because it's like, I'm just releasing it. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter who the fuck you believe in. And I heard this really great thing. Cause I went to church with my wife. She really wants to get the kids involved with church. She was involved with church, then got out of it obviously because of her using or whatever. And honestly, when I first got clean, I was like, you know, what the fuck? I always believed in something, but not like this figure, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not really there yet either. You know what I mean? I definitely believe that there's a power greater than myself. Okay. You know what I mean? I 100% think that. I mean, my whole philosophy on it is like, we're all aliens and shit, and like, they fucking created us. And I highly think that, and that's putting on the tinfoil hat, but I mean, I mean, this whole universe, it blows my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, I heard something really great, and it's in the Bible. There's always 3 years or three steps, but always, you know what I mean? And he kind of broke down how 2020 was so fucking awful. You know what I mean? Like, there were so many things, like, we're on lockdown and, like, all of these fucking...
businesses are getting shut down.
Yeah, all these rules that the government is making, you know, Fauci is fucking making up fake shit, 6 feet. Oh, you know, 2 weeks ago, he just...
wear a mask.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, he said, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said, you know, say
what
that.
What the fuck?
Meanwhile, like, me at work, we had signs that said 6 feet. Mm-hmm. It was like putting people...
you
no contact. It really fucked with people.
Yeah.
And it still fucks with people. When I see people wearing a mask right now, I go, you poor soul.
Oh, my God, dude.
Like, stop it already.
Yeah.
But if it makes you feel comfortable, go ahead and do it, because you're not affecting me, but you look like a fucking moron. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, but you do. Are you a fucking surgeon? Knock it the fuck off. God damn it. Yeah, what are you giving? You know, you're fucking working at Target. What are you going to do? What are you, operate on somebody over here? Knock it off. Take that fucking mask
off.
Afraid of bloodborne
pathogens right now?
Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. No. Yeah. Sorry, Rebecca MD. The fuck out of here.
That's all those people that did the Google searches that we were saying not to do earlier.
I know. Fuck, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, so, you know, think in hindsight, if that is the case and whatever, I'm a believer in it because I want to believe in good shit. Basically, 24 is going to be a fucking, a new year, a new start. You know what I mean? And I wholeheartedly believe it. I think that with every event that we have going on, and we're, Both of our brands are just leveling up and elevating, bro. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, the things that you're doing, going to be doing in Arizona, is going to be fucking top notch.
Yeah, dude.
And Shifter Crew might be holding it down.
That's the plan.
You know what I mean? So,
yep.
I mean, that's not even a thought. That's probably the fuck. That's what's in the making,
yep,
right?
That's what we're working on, man. And it's so much fucking fun. If you don't. I've been talking all this about how fucking stressed out I was all the time. Shifter Crew has been just a fucking joy, dude.
Right.
I mean, it's just something. It's a project kind of that. The reason I got into riding in the first place was to kind of get away from all the military stuff. You know what I mean? To get away from. You don't want to be at work all the time, you know. And all my friends were in the military at the time. Like, that's, I never got away from it. Well, then I started riding bikes, got into a completely different set of my life, a different stage in my life. I kind of feel like. And dude, it's just a blast. So following Arizona as well, there's Bay Area Throttle Fest is going on at San Jose Harley. You should check that out.
Really?
That's going to be a really good time. Yeah.
I just wish that we were both just rich and that way
and we could just not worry about it.
I mean, cause there's so many cool things to do, and especially like, oh man, she just said it. I just reminded I say, nobody's been, by the way, this is your guys' fault. Nobody's correcting me. I say, especially.
There's no X.
I just caught myself, honey. Proud. especially. I can't believe nobody called me out on that, you pricks. Fucking, they're probably like, we just know you're dumb, Dustin. Like,
well, you're the one with the microphone.
Yeah,
so.
You're just a fucking idiot. We already knew that. We make fun of you all the time. We see your posts, you retard.
Oh, were you spelling it wrong?
I was going to be like,
you were spelling it, EX?
Well, no, I mean, I'm smart. I do the voice, the text, you know what I mean? So fucking, if it's spelt wrong, it's fucking serious, dumbass.
It's not Dustin.
Yeah. But anyways, that's too much. That was so funny that I just caught that. Fucking moron.
That was the best of us.
I say pillow, and she's like, no, it's pillow. Like, it's my fucking language, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I have an accent.
Why. Yeah.
From Ramona, I'm country.
I don't know if that's the first thought. Yeah. Country.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What the fuck were we talking about, though?
I don't know, dude. We got off on your accent.
I don't know.
Yeah. Your San Diego accent.
Here we go,
speaking
guys.
Clear and concise. No, we were talking about everything going on in Arizona and... just trying to hold it down out there.
Yeah, I know.
And then you're like, I wish we were both rich.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wish we were both rich because there's so many. Oh, yeah. Duh, here we go. Thank you. There's so many great events that are outside of Southern California.
Yep.
You know, that would be just really cool to do. I would like to do the circuit one time of doing like Daytona, Sturgis, and do Laconia. Like, that would be really fun to do, but
Laconia,
I heard it just costs a lot of money.
Born Free Texas is another one. Yep, the Born Texas Free Texas. Hill Show. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot.
Dude, Texas is holding shit down, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
The big state. Got a lot of people moving, too.
Yep. A lot of people leaving California. Mm. Well, that's a big ass state. There's a lot of people out there, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, man. That was, I mean, I did Colorado this year, Arizona, went up north. Oh, Monterey. We were up in Monterey for the bagger races. We didn't work that, but went up there and checked that out.
Yeah.
That was the Moto America. If you haven't been to that in Monterey, go to that event. That's right. An awesome time.
I think that's what's neat about Instagram is because a lot of people have this image and they see what we post, you know, and it's California living and blah, blah, blah. But I always thought it would be really cool to, like, Des Moines, Iowa, you know, or whatever the fuck, you know, Billings, Montana, like bring a show, you know, to like what we do.
Yep, 100%.
And there's so many ideas that I have, but once again, it just costs money. So if you're listening and you want to sponsor this, I have some great ideas, guys.
We've got two companies that will for sure show up.
Yeah. But I mean, it'd be cool because, you know, a lot of these guys just sit on Instagram and they see it and they don't ever really get to experience it.
Right.
Unless they have to drive like, you know, to a major city that fucking has it, you know? Mm-hmm. But you go to like these little towns to where you know the hype is big, and like they'll still show up.
Yep. Are you gonna do Born Free this year?
I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been, so I'm definitely gonna go.
Yeah.
I think that's a great meet and greet. You know, meet and say hi and fucking
100%. And not everything. I had to learn this early on. Not everything needs to be business oriented. You can go up there and wander around, and people are gonna recognize you, and you're gonna make relationships with people there. You know what I mean? And
for sure,
it can be networking. That's half the time. I do like 50% of the events. Like, sorry, that burrito just caught up to me.
Yeah.
But I probably do 50% of the events that we possibly could do. And I have just as good of a time. In Colorado, I think I packed up like a day early and just went and hung out. Like, just to do it. You know?
That's cool.
Like, you can... There's value in all this stuff. You don't have to go work. It doesn't have to be chasing. I need to make this much. I need to make this much. I need to do this. Like,
yeah.
Just go out and experience it, you know?
Well, it's like what we said earlier, too. It's like the whole philosophy of, like, making money. No, what you really need to do is meet people.
100%.
You know? Because 100%. At the end of the day, if you start meeting people and they see where your character is, like, they're going to support you, you know?
Yep.
And they're not going to see right through you, and there's nothing fake, you know? So, I mean... I think that's great, man. Colorado would be great. I was supposed to do it last year, then things didn't work out. And that's always the circumstances with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go here, then things don't work out. But I'm really setting LFG as a priority this year.
Right.
And I have somebody on my team. At least it's like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that one podcast I'm talking about. Like, she's like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we can do a whole circuit. I was thinking, like, I'll go to fucking Oregon. Mm-hmm. And go round up some of my boys up there and just do a whole fucking week.
And, dude, there's such a cool scene in Oregon. Have you been up there yet?
No.
Oh, dude.
Dude, one of my best friends lives up there.
Yeah.
And now, so, dude, check this out. Cherry Hills.
Cherry City Bagger Bagger?
Boom.
Yep.
Okay. I saw that you guys follow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's doing an event there as LFG. He's going to take my booth. Bring in merch, you know what I mean? And, I mean, here's the deal. Frank's part of LFG no matter. He's day one, you know what I mean? So there's no discrepancies about that. Like, he is LFG. But he's going to take LFG to Oregon, and he's going to fucking start doing shows and shit up there.
Shit.
So it's really cool, you know what I mean?
No, that's awesome.
It's really cool. And so that's a big function that he's doing. But anyway, so now I have him hooked up with all these guys, like him and Tommy, you know, Sketchy by Nature. They're talking on Instagram. He's already talked with Ride Faster Pussy, too. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and I mean, that scene up there, the PacWest V-Twin show, it's put on by Brad Columbus out of Crash Inc. That, I went up to that this year. That was the event I meant to say earlier. That was so cool. Like, Brad's been in the community and into bikes for a long time. And I swear, he just took, like, all of his favorite things from different events and was like, now I'm going to do this myself.
Oh, so it's
and
his event?
Yeah. The PacWest V-Twin show is Brad's. Everybody was there. Chase City Bagger Bars. Jason from Ride Faster.
I got to meet Brad. I mean, I've talked to him
You've
on
Instagram. You've never
met Brad? No, we talked on Instagram, but
FaceTime him real quick? Like, that's, dude, Brad's.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's somebody that I want to have a conversation with, too, man. Oh, he just seems...
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad reminds me... Brad and Tommy are similar.
Okay.
I think, like, very positive energy, positive mental attitude. Brad is a fucking amazing dude. Like, just old cowboy.
Shout out.
Honestly. Yeah, like, shout out to Brad, dude. I hope you're still recovering from that surgery. A little down and out. Looking a little soft these days. But you'll be back at it, big dog. No, they... but, yeah, that whole scene up there, I mean, Jason, Brad, Robert, Austin, like they've got it going on in Oregon. I went up to that show and I was like, oh, Levi, yeah, from Sporty Mob. Like, yeah. They've got it going on up there, man.
They do.
Like, went up to that show and I was like, holy shit, some of these bikes are hitters, dude.
Right.
Like, they've got a cool scene. I want to say he had over 100 bikes under his show this year. Like, the 100 bikes right. in just a show is really good numbers. Like, yeah. that's, and he had it all professionally done. The way he set it up is, the bike show is at the center of the event, and then all of the vendors make a horseshoe around it.
Sick.
It's fucking badass,
That's
dude.
That's cool.
And then he's got Austin, who's out there, like, he's got schematics, and he's measured it all out, so it's all perfect. Every bike is social distanced appropriately. It's, like, 6 feet by 6 feet by 6 feet. Like, yeah. they knocked it out of the park, dude. It's That's on really a, cool. It's at a golf course up there, and they kill it, man.
They crush.
Yeah. It's June... don't know the exact dates yet. I want to say it's well, June 13th or something.
They can find it. What is it? Crash Inc., right?
Yeah, Crash Inc. is Brad Columbus's company, and then PacWest V-Twin Show is the show. It has its own page, too.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah. So then I'm sure
just pay attention right to that, yeah.
Yeah, Frank tells me, you know, he says all the time, he's like, man, it's a wild time because the weather here is so fucking sporadic and it's shitty. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's shitty weather, right? But he said, I mean, he loves Oregon, and he loves the culture and everything that's up there. He said it's just... it's really shitty when it rains and it snows and it's really cold and there's like ice.
Yep.
But he said other than that, he's like the moment it starts to get warm up, he said there's fucking motorcycles everywhere.
Yep.
He said this place is huge.
Yep.
In the motorcycles.
I knew if Brad was putting this on, it was gonna be cool, it was gonna be successful, I was gonna have a good time. I didn't expect that many people to show up to Dallas, Oregon. Like it was huge, dude. Right. There's a ton of people out there. And I mean, he's the guy that's been doing this for a long time. He's been around the community and he's been running that company for a while, and he's got a ton of experience, and it shows in the product that he puts out at his show, you know? Yeah. And I stayed the night, I stayed at his house when I was up there, and it was so funny because Brad's big old fucking cowboy. Like he picked me up one time and I was like, bro, I'm 6'1", like 220. Like, please don't hurt me. Like, really? Brad's a strong boy, dude. Boy. But he's like, kind of like me. Emotions are on his sleeve. You know, he's all excited and nervous and freaking out. And I'm like, brother, you've done all this work. Whatever happens tomorrow, he's like, it might rain. I'm like, well, then it fucking rains. Like, but he knocked it out of the park, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely recommend going up to that one.
That's cool. That's the whole point of getting out of your normal town and just experiencing other things, you know?
And there's different. It's a little bit different. Colorado is different than Arizona. Arizona is different than San Diego. San Diego is different than Oregon.
Right.
Like, all of these places have different flavors and different vibes, you know what I mean? But the whole point of kind of, I think what we're all trying to do is get out there and see all of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can all stay right here and never experience anything else. 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's the fun in that?
It's funny. Jace says that all the time, and he was on our podcast too, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, you guys have got to experience other places because you're just going to open your mind to so many different things and so many different motorcycle cultures and communities, you know? So, I mean, the motorcycle community in itself is just so fucking powerful.
100%.
This is the best community, man. I appreciate all you motherfuckers.
Brought us together.
That's right, baby. Yeah. All right, bro. Well, you got any closing fucking thoughts or words for the fucking peeps here?
Nah, man. Just thanks for having me on. We talked about a lot of stuff, but I meant everything I said earlier. If you guys, if anybody out there's in a spot, reach out, man.
Yeah. Where can they find you, even though we already know?
Shifter.crew would be the company page.
Oh. All right. Oh, you know what, bro? I didn't even fucking say. You know what? Let's see. What should we go out to, bro?
Ooh.
That's always a fun.
Something hype.
Something hype?
Come on. That intro got me going.
I know.
Because I killed it.
Bro, I... motherfucker.
Come on. He's scrolling through his phone.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, dude, because there's so many great things to go out to.
Old Parachute by Chris Stapleton. Come on.
Hey,
that's just the first one that came to my mind.
You want to hear something?
What's up?
I'm fucking making fun of myself. I fucking would sing that song and I'd said pair of shoes.
I could be your pair of shoes.
Hey, Elise was like, you're fucking so dumb, dude. Like she said, it's pair
of country bumpkin.
She said a pair of shoes. I said, I know what the fuck it was saying. I was just fucking around. The
Bullshit.
Fuck out of here, dude.
He wasn't fucking around, guys.
I know. I was dead.
Wasn't fucking around.
I was dead ass serious. Don't fucking get it fucked up.
Parachutes.
All right, guys, this has been another show of the LFG 1904 show. Y'all know the fucking deal. Let's go.
Street lights along the highway, throwing shadows in the dark, and the memories keep on talking.